4.166.
It's the average score of the world's best agents attempting to redesign their own training algorithm, the ceiling of recursive self-improvement they're selling as the future of your stack.
This is the AI Expert Edition. The week it became clear, agents in production don't break because of a lack of model. They break because of a lack of data engineering, permission governance, and silicon atoms. There's a production myth that the industry has perpetuated in silence for 2 years. The myth says, when your agent fails, rewrite the prompt. Invest more in the model. Increase the context. Try another chain of thought architecture. ThoughtWorks published this week the most direct autopsy I've read on why teams prototype in a week and get stuck for 6 months. And the conclusion is uncomfortable. The gap isn't one of model. It's organizational.
The diagnosis starts with a number. A ThoughtWorks client had 47 tables with the word revenue in their data catalog. The agent could query all 47. The problem wasn't query capability. It was that it didn't know which to use, couldn't apply regional definitions correctly, and couldn't explain the choice it made. To the agent, 47 revenue tables are 47 equally probable answers. To the finance team, only one matters.
ThoughtWorks divides the failure into two layers. The platform layer, Unity Catalog, Access Controls, Lineage, is almost solved. The meaning layer is not. Revenue in the same company can mean revenue recognized, invoiced, or booked, depending on the team. Customer means different things to sales and operations. Two tables sharing a customer underscore ID column share a key, not necessarily a valid join. The recommendation, mark relationships as inferred until a domain owner verifies them. This discipline prevents silent errors that surface only when the agent's output is checked after a decision has already been made.
The empirical evidence that context curation beats prompt rewriting comes from Databricks' internal benchmark. 28 questions, June 2026. The Genie agent answered 84.5% correctly on the first try. The best general purpose code agent tested came in at 52.4%, the worst at 25%. And Genie was twice as fast. The difference isn't the underlying model. It's the governed context layer inherited from Unity Catalog. Competitors were anonymized. Independent replication is not yet possible. But the principle holds in the field.
Databricks has a name for the standard problem that occurs without governed context. First revenue table it finds. The agent picks the first revenue table it encounters in a keyword search, not the one the finance team actually maintains. The result is technically data sourced, but operationally wrong. The solution isn't a better prompt. It's curation in Unity Catalog, formalized metric definitions with formula, owner, dimensions, system of record, temporal rules, and explicitly documented and versioned exceptions.
And when your Genie agent returns inconsistent answers, Databricks is direct. Audit Unity Catalog assets before touching the prompt. The Genie ontology, in restricted preview, scans notebooks, dashboards, pipelines, and lineage, extracts knowledge fragments, ranks them via OntoRank, an engine inspired by PageRank that weights creator authority, breadth of use, linkage to certified datasets, and freshness, and injects the most relevant at query time. It self-maintains, which is fundamental because metric definitions drift after teams construct them manually.
But context that self-updates is right for discovery. It's not right for board presentations to the CFO. You need to version definitions alongside the learned layer, pin agents to a named release, and test against that specific release, not against live data. ThoughtWorks makes a point of putting this in bold.
There's a production case that goes beyond table curation and closes this first block elegantly. Netflix open-sourced in June the OCI agent, a Python package for observational causal inference, using an actor-critic loop, and since then has been running more than 100 causal analyses per month with it. The architecture is instructive for any team deploying agents in high-stakes analytical workloads.
Describe the loop.
An actor agent receives the human's plan, refines it into an analysis spec, fills a Jupyter notebook with template and executes it. A critic agent receives the output, evaluates it at three levels, unsatisfactory, satisfactory with caveats, fully satisfactory, and recommends spec changes. The loop runs until the critic approves or a stopping condition is reached. Each artifact, plans, specs, plots, executed notebooks, is versioned and published in a file store where the human can verify results locally. Netflix calls this process audits.
Thank you. Why process audits instead of accuracy on a leaderboard? Because observational causal inference from observational data has no ground truth. You don't evaluate this agent with numerical accuracy against an external oracle. You evaluate whether it followed the playbook, whether the critic flagged the right diagnostics, whether a human can re-execute the notebook and arrive at the same answer. That fundamentally changes what you need to build as eval infrastructure.
The case study they publish is the clearest demonstration of why causal structure matters. They asked Raw Claude and the OCI agent the same question. What's the impact of engaging with a new entertainment type, their games vertical called Type X, on two-month retention? The OCI agent returned an estimate that was only 25% of Raw Claude's result. The model without causal structure overestimated the causal effect by 4 times. The critic flagged early adopter bias and a failed placebo test, and sparked iterations with adjusted parameters until reaching a defensible estimate.
That's the difference between a correct product decision and one that looks correct.
And 4 diagnostics run automatically in the OCI agent. Covariate balance, standardized mean difference below 0.2 after weighting. Overlap, propensity score between 0.1 and 0.9. A placebo outcome test, and sensitivity analysis to hidden confounders. The critic evaluates them before issuing any rating. If your data science stack runs observational causal work today, proxy metric estimation, retention impact analysis, feature attribution, the OCI agent delivers an actor-critic template already tested under production load, with diagnostic thresholds and playbooks defined. The message ThoughtWorks and Netflix deliver in concert. Curating data is the lever that matters. Rewriting the prompt is the reflex of someone who hasn't found the root cause.
But while architects fought with ontologies and process evals, a second narrative advanced in silence. The narrative that the model improves itself, and therefore production problems resolve by osmosis as the next generation arrives. This narrative had a very bad week.
2 papers, published hours apart, arriving at the same conclusion by opposite paths. The first, Phantom Gains, Auditing Self-Improvement Against a Measured Null, Zhu, Yan, Chen, and Kachati, published on Archive on August 20, 2026. 3 rounds of self-training with Laura Rank 32 on a Qwen 3-8B. Result? Detectable gains. 0. Worse, self-training degraded problems the base model already solved at rates measurably above measurement noise.
The isolated data point isn't what concerns me. It's the methodology that hid this data for all this time. The authors identified 7 measurement failures in the standard self-improvement evaluation pipeline. Each one in isolation is capable of inverting a published result. Not distorting slightly, inverting completely.
The most revealing, the expansion statistic, designed to separate genuine capacity acquisition from simple refinement of partial knowledge. This statistic assigned to the frozen Qwen 3-8B model, with no additional training, a capacity acquisition rate of 0.280. The model learned absolutely nothing. The metric says it learned. That means every time you see a capacity expansion number in a self-training paper, you're probably looking at inference noise, not learning.
The paper proposes an exact test per problem against a pooled baseline under false discovery rate control. Apply to held-out replicates, it detects nothing, the right answer when the model didn't change, and remains stable under shifts in multiple testing correction, error rate, and pool size. An indicator that moves with FDR threshold isn't measuring capacity, it's measuring the sensitivity of the evaluation pipeline.
And there's a corruption finding that demands immediate action from anyone running iterative self-training. Self-training degraded problems the base model solves in baseline at rates above measured noise. Teams tracking aggregate accuracy don't see this. A new gain in one problem numerically offsets a regression in another. Transition-level auditing exposes the regression. Accuracy auditing hides it. The practical implication: before shipping any self-training pipeline, run the base model frozen through your complete eval stack as many times as each trained arm, and build capacity change statistics against that measured null, not against assume zero.
And the second paper goes straight to the mechanism that would justify recursive self-improvement, the AI for AI bench from Naver's lab and Einsia Goff AI, also published on August 20. The research question: can LLM agents redesign training algorithms to produce better models? This is the theoretical basis of recursive improvement, the idea that an agent can improve the process that will produce the next agent.
The scale: 0 is a non-informative model, 0.1 is the algorithm the repository comes with, 1.0 is the theoretical optimum. Result: average score of 0.166 across 29 configurations of 6 systems across 10 frozen research repositories. The best individual system reached 0.250, closing less than 1/5 of the gap between current baseline and possible. 6 systems tested, none demonstrating reliable algorithmic invention.
The benchmark design is adversarial to shortcuts. Each repository covers a distinct family of training algorithms: objectives, update rules, regularization schedules. The agent gets 4 hours on a single B300 GPU to read the code, propose changes, and test ideas against a proxy metric. It produces a code patch, nothing else. No cached weights, no retained state. This patch runs in a clean container for up to 12 hours, evaluated by a fixed evaluator that was hidden from the agent during those 4 hours.
Most agents never get to change how the model learns. They shift loss weights, adjust batch sizes, or do nothing substantive. Submissions that actually edit the learning algorithm average 0.226. Those that don't, 0.126. This 0.100 gap is all the difference between a meaningful attempt and algorithmic inertia.
More reasoning buys willingness to enter training code. It shifts the fraction of submissions that edit the algorithm from 8% to 64%, and the average from 0.094 to 0.196. But it doesn't buy capacity to improve it once inside. Algorithmic design, the layer where gains compound across all future training runs, including the one producing the next agent, remains the only level of recursive self-improvement that still requires a human.
What these two papers kill in concert is a specific narrative, that the model in self-improving will eventually solve the production problems we discussed in the earlier block. The answer is, not with the self-training mechanism available today. And perhaps more importantly, the fact that we couldn't account for this suggests that much of the gains published over the last 2 years might be well-presented measurement noise.
So if the model doesn't audit itself, who does? And with what infrastructure? Because this week, two pieces of agent governance became more concrete than ever, and both solve problems that no prompt can solve. Cloudflare put RightGuard in private beta. It's a policy, attribution, and audit layer that sits between Cloudflare's portal of MCP servers and each connected tool. It classifies each call by risk tier and intercepts writes before execution. Policy is defined in TypeScript alongside tool configuration, without changes to the MCP server itself. This point matters at scale.
The incident that motivated it is described in their own engineering blog. An agent running in the background under an engineer's OAuth identity closed thousands of Jira tickets one afternoon at a rate no human could sustain before anyone noticed. The system logged each action under the engineer's name, with no way to separate what was human action from agent action. And Cloudflare's internal portal grew from 13 connected servers in April 2026 to 27 today. Building controls into each server separately would have produced inconsistent behavior every time a new server was added.
The four tiers are direct: read-only calls, fetch issues, read a merge request, check pipeline status, pass through unmodified. Minimal impact calls, add a reaction, mark notification as read, are only logged. Contained writes, create a merge request, add a comment, update an issue field, receive agent attribution injected in the downstream application in the format that application accepts, plus an asynchronous audit event. Critical operations, merge to main, trigger production deploy, bulk delete records, are blocked before execution. Tiers are configurable per tool. A merge-merge tool classified as critical never executes without an explicit policy allowing it.
The design detail that matters in practice: RightGuard doesn't create standalone agent accounts. It inherits permissions from the human via Cloudflare Access and OAuth. If the engineer can't close a certain issue, neither can the agent. But permission inheritance alone doesn't solve attribution. The audit trail distinguishes Joe Cloud Code session ABC123 from Joe Browser. Audit events are sent asynchronously, zero added latency to the tool call path, and scrubbed of values containing secrets. Each event records server, tool, risk tier, outcome, user, client, and duration.
The regulatory context is more urgent than it appears. Security researchers found over 21,000 instances of MCP servers exposed on the internet, with approximately 92% lacking basic OAuth authentication. RightGuard is the server-side answer, and because the control sits on the server, the end user can't circumvent it by switching clients or disabling a local hook. It's protection that doesn't depend on user discipline.
And AWS went further on the sequencing problem with Dogwood, an extension of Cedar for governing sequences of agent tool calls, not just individual requests. Traditional Cedar is stateless by design. The same request returns the same response regardless of prior state, making automated reasoning and audit tractable. But agents operate in sequences. The constraints teams want live in sequences. Get approval before acting. Stay under an accumulated total. Stop contacting external parties after touching confidential data. These rules are inapplicable at the policy layer today without Dogwood.
The when temporal clause is the mechanism. It reads the agent's event history, tool call requests, outcomes, input arguments, requesting principle. Four operators cover the practical surface. Formerly, did something happen in a time window? Count within, count distinct within, and sum within. A bind operator assigns an aggregate to a name for comparison against the current request. The action schema is generated directly from the agent's MCP tool manifest.
There's a concurrency detail that's nearly a ready-made production trap. A rate limit policy expressed as a sum over response events fails against parallel calls. Three $2,000 transfers arrive before anyone settles. The policy summing responses sees nothing in flight and approves all three against a $5,000 cap. Summing request events instead of response events denies the third. One word separates correct from broken. In multi-agent configurations where calls interleave, the exposure multiplies.
The cost of using temporal conditions. They lose Cedar's automated reasoning. A policy using when temporal cannot be formally analyzed for completeness or contradiction. AWS built a separate language instead of extending Cedar because the two properties are in fundamental tension. The reference interpreter is available under Apache 2.0, but it's not for production authorization. It's exploration while the language stabilizes. Existing Cedar policies remain valid in Dogwood without migration.
Dogwood and Cloudflare MCP 2026-07-28 solve adjacent halves of the same problem. MCP headers, MCP protocol version, MCP method, MCP name make agent traffic readable to HTTP infrastructure. Dogwood expresses what a sequence of calls has permission to total. Both are prerequisites for running named agents within a compliance perimeter.
Agent governance became an infrastructure stack. It's no longer a compliance checklist at the end of the project. It's an architecture decision at the beginning.
And underneath all this software discussion, models, ontologies, sequence policies, there's a physics that doesn't bend to any engineer's will, the physics of silicon atoms. And this week, the financial structure governing those atoms became more visible and more concentrated than at any point in the last 2 years. In August 2026, NVIDIA announced two moves that reshaped the nature of its competitive advantage. First, a memorandum with Goldman Sachs, Apollo Global Management, Blackstone, BlackRock, Brookfield, and KKR to mobilize more than $500 billion in third-party capital for GPU financing. Second, a commitment of up to $105 billion for an OpenAI data center on the Pike County, Ohio campus, including a direct investment of $1.5 billion in energy and approximately 4 gigawatt capacity.
The surface reading is NVIDIA is betting big on the ecosystem. The correct reading is different. NVIDIA's quarterly free cash flow hit $48.5 billion, 18-fold growth in 3 years. They hold $30.2 billion in marketable equity securities versus $12.9 billion a year ago. Private equity holdings rose from $3.39 billion to $22.25 billion in 12 months. In the last fiscal year, they invested $17.5 billion in private companies and infrastructure funds, primarily to support early-stage startups, according to the SEC filing. Startups who then buy their products directly or via cloud providers.
The pattern is repetitive enough to be called strategy. CoreWeave, NVIDIA stake plus a $6.3 billion compute purchase agreement with validity through 2032. When NVIDIA invested $10 billion in Anthropic in November 2025, the lab entered a separate agreement to purchase $30 billion in compute capacity on Microsoft Azure and commit to deploying Grace Blackwell and Vera Rubin systems. The $30 billion investment in OpenAI, completed in February 2026 at a post-money valuation of $852 billion, is structured partly around GPU leases.
Mizuho analyst Jordan Klein called it pre-financing the purchase of your own GPUs. SemiAnalysis found that 9 of the 10 most funded startups on Forbes AI 50 received capital from NVIDIA, including OpenAI, Anthropic, and Mistral.
When a startup's initial infrastructure budget includes NVIDIA capital and the GPU lease runs through 2032, procurement decisions stop being neutral cost per flop analysis. It becomes locked. Lock-in became balance sheet.
But the moat has a real weakness, and it's important to name it. The switching cost of CUDA drops when models run, not when they train. AMD ROC-M and Google's Torch TPU, a native PyTorch execution path for TPUs, co-developed with Meta, are gaining traction in inference stacks. And NVIDIA's acquisition of Groq, whose language processing units based on SRAM outperform GPUs in the autoregressive generation phase, signals the company is moving to dominate the specialized inference segment before competitors claim it.
That said, leaving NVIDIA now isn't about porting CUDA kernels. It's about undoing financial arrangements embedded in supplier capital stack architecture. They're escapes of different nature with different cost.
And the token price floor isn't set by model efficiency. It's set by TSMC fab capacity, which is approaching its physical limit.
TSMC's N3 node is the current bottleneck. Every major accelerator roadmap converged on it. NVIDIA's Rubin, Broadcom's custom ASICs, Google's TPU v7, AMD's MI series, Annapurna, MediaTek. Semi-analysis models AI demand, accelerators, host TPUs, network silicon, consuming just under 60% of all N3 production in 2026. In 2027, that number reaches 86%, practically crowding out smartphone and PC chips from the same node. N3 utilization is expected to exceed 100% in the second half of 2026.
Wafers get more expensive each cycle. A 3-nanometer wafer costs between $19,500 and $21,000. A 2-nanometer wafer, above $30,000, a premium of over 50%. TSMC announced price increases for 4 consecutive years starting in 2026, with 3-nanometers rising approximately 3%.
3 blocks, 1 thesis. What constrains agents in production isn't the model. It's what the model can't see, what it's not permitted to do, and what it costs to produce the next token. Wire on Monday opens with Databricks document intelligence numbers, extractions 7 points better at 1/5 the cost, and the schedule reordering that recovered 33 points of GPU utilization without CapEx. Until then.